welcome to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministry Kids Program. My name is Kayla Jo. This program is made by and for children and youth. This hour we have Let's Read the Bible, Unlocked, Children's Bible Drama, and Daily Devotional. I hope that we can grow our faith in God as we listen to the program together. You can even invite your friends to listen to this program with you. Now, let's start this week's program. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Many countries in the world have political conflicts. Rather than joining powers together to do something beneficial, they often attack each other to extreme measures. Even in a country, there are many people who have different views or beliefs. They are often opposed to each other and are biased left and right. In fact, in many parts of the Bible, God tells us not to be biased and not to lean towards left or right. It would be great to live based on the Word of God without leaning to either left or right. At the time when Paul was writing the book of Romans, there were Roman church members who were biased and either leaned towards the left or to the right. Also, there were people who believed that because God gave them the grace to forgive sins through Jesus, they should sin more in order to receive more of this grace. Because of this belief, they wanted to sin even more. However, on the other hand, there were people who said that because their sins were forgiven, they should work hard to follow the law of Moses in order to become more righteous. In Romans chapter 6, Apostle Paul explains that it was impossible for those who wanted to live in sin to receive more grace, because if they were dead to sin, they should no longer live in sin. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul already explained that a person does not become righteous by following the law. Instead, he explains that people become righteous through their faith. He explained that the reason for the laws was to help people understand what sin is. By understanding this, it helped them realize that they cannot become righteous by themselves. The laws helped the people to realize that God's grace is the only way to be saved. After hearing this, some may think, if this is true, is the law bad? For those who may have thought this, the Apostle Paul explains that the law is not bad. In Romans chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "What should we say then? That the law is sinful? Not at all. Yet I would not have known what sin was unless the law had told me. The law says, do not want what belongs to other people." If the law hadn't said that, I would not have known what it was like to want what belongs to others. Without knowing the laws, which are God's standards, we would not know that we are sinners. Most of us would probably live by thinking, I'm a decent person. Most people would even consider themselves as righteous. When we become aware of God's words, we soon realize that we are corrupt sinners. We also realize that we can't reach God's standards alone. Because of this reason, the law is neither bad nor scary. The law is good because it allows us to become aware of our sins and makes us need God's grace. I hope that we can be those that need Jesus in every part of our lives. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to reflect on your word so that we, as sinners, can become more aware of your grace. Please help us so that when we see the holy, righteous, and good law of God, we can desire more of your grace. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Nathaniel Yi from California will read the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 through 12 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name's Nathaniel Yi. I'm 11 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 11. Let's read the Bible.
Brothers and sisters, I am speaking to you who know the law.
Don't you know that the law has authority over someone only as long as they live? For example, by law, a married woman remains married as long as her husband lives. But suppose her husband dies. Then the law that joins her to him no longer applies. But suppose that married woman sleeps with another man while her husband is still alive. Then she is called a woman who commits adultery. But suppose her husband dies. Then she is free from that law. She is not guilty of adultery if she marries another man. My brothers and sisters, when Christ died, you also died as far as the law is concerned. Then it became possible for you to belong to him. He was raised from the dead. Now our lives can be useful to God. The power of sin used to control us. The law stirred up sinful desires in us. So the things we did resulted in death. But now we have died to what used to control us. We have been set free from the law. Now we serve in the new way of the Holy Spirit. We no longer serve in the old way of the written law. What should we say then? That the law is sinful? Not at all. Yet I wouldn't have known what sin was unless the law had told me. The law says, do not want what belongs to other people. If the law hadn't said that, I would not have known what it was like to want what belongs to others. But the commandment gave sin an opportunity. Sin caused me to want all kinds of things that belong to others. A person can't sin by breaking a law. If that law doesn't exist, before I knew about the law, I was alive. But then the commandment came, sin came to life, and I died. I found that the commandment that was supposed to bring life actually brought death. When the commandment gave sin the opportunity, sin tricked me. It used the commandments to put me to death. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us to read your word today. Let us not be controlled by sin, but by you, God. Let us also follow you instead of sin. Let us implicate this message into our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
What decisions are you facing now? What are some of your dreams for the future? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I tend to be a bit of a planner. A lot of my friends know that, and I love laying out plans, sometimes even years in advance. Thing is, that doesn't always work, and I think that's part of the reason why I really felt like I could relate with part of what Macy Wee, today's author, was saying in her devotional, His Plan. What do you want to be when you grow up? I never liked that question because I never had a good answer. My sister wanted to be a Bible translator, my brother dreamed of becoming a missionary pilot, but me? All I could say was a mom. That was part of what I wanted to be, but I felt like there was more. Maybe a teacher, maybe a police officer. I wasn't sure, and I prayed that God would give me the answer. Then, through conversations with a few people, I started to sense that God might be showing me I was going about it in the wrong way. As an organized person, I wanted to plan out my entire education and career, but that's not really what I needed. Instead, I submitted my plans to God out of love for Him. He helped me rest in knowing He is working in everything. I could trust God to take me one step at a time as I lived His plan for my life right then. When I started praying that God would take me one step at a time, I felt like He began to show me my calling. I was 15 years old, and over the summer, He did some amazing works in my life. I felt a clear calling to youth ministry, and I saw how this career path could be a great fit for my passions, gifts, and desires. I didn't learn my lesson that easily, though. As I started taking classes through our local community college's dual enrollment program, I was trying to plan colleges and degrees after I graduated. And again, I keep catching myself getting stressed out about the future. Again, I've had to hand it over to God. My hope is in Him, not in my own plans, and I can't wait to see where God is going to lead me. As fellow teenagers, you're probably facing some of the same questions and decisions I am. I want to challenge you to let go of your fight for answers, and instead, let God take you one step at a time. He loves you deeply, He has a plan for you, and you can trust Him to lead you. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Have you experienced God's faithfulness in leading you through decisions in the past? How has He done that? What questions are you facing right now? What are some of your dreams for the future? Have you ever found yourself fighting for answers instead of resting in God? It can be hard to allow God to lead us one step at a time, but when we decide to go His way instead of our own, He promises to help us through His Holy Spirit. You can ask Him for help anytime. As you and I can read in Proverbs 16, verse 9, we can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Proverbs chapter 16, especially verses 1 through 9, including that verse we just read, as well as Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked just like Macy did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow, because you and I are going to take a look at some living proof. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unblocked.
Can you imagine Jesus saying your name with love? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. There's something about someone knowing your name. It takes that person from a stranger to an acquaintance, or even a friend. That's why the statement in the title of today's devotion is so amazing. This one was written by Macy Wee, and is called Jesus Knows My Name. Do you know what your name means? Recently, I looked up my own name, Macy. I found out that Macy might come from a Hebrew word that means gift of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is one of God's names, and it means I am. I also discovered that the Greek form of the word my name comes from is the same Greek word my brother's name comes from. So, in a roundabout way, my brother and I have the same name. Cool, right? My family and friends aren't the only ones that know my name, though. Jesus, my Savior, knows my name too, as we can see in today's Bible passages from Luke 15 and John chapter 10. During his ministry on earth, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd who calls his own sheep by name. We are like the sheep in this parable, and when Jesus said that he loves his sheep so much that he lays down his life for them, he meant it. Jesus let himself be put to death on a cross to take the punishment our sins deserve. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and the first person he showed himself to was Mary Magdalene, who was one of his followers. When she was weeping outside the empty tomb, Jesus called her by name. And then he told her to go and tell his other followers the good news. God wants all people to know him and be saved from eternal death. That's why he sent Jesus. Everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead will have their name written in the book of life. We see that recorded in Revelation chapter 20. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, believers can know with confidence that they are forgiven and will one day be resurrected to live with him forever. The moment I put my trust in Jesus, his sacrificial blood washed away my sin, and my name was inscribed in the book of life. There was a party in heaven as Macy was added to the long list of God's children. And just as Jesus said Mary to the crying woman outside the tomb, he will one day say Macy with the same love. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Take a look at John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Can you imagine Jesus saying your name with love? As you and I can read in John chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Luke chapter 15, especially verse 10, as well as John 10, verses 1 through 18, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so by checking out unlocked.org or the Giving tab in the Unlocked app. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to be looking at his plan. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Stop.
following is the program Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. After destroying the Midian United Army, Gideon said he and his sons will not become kings of Israel. However, Gideon named his son who was born of his concubine Abimelech, which means my father is king. Gideon said he wouldn't be king, but he lived like a king. Besides his concubine, Gideon had many wives and had a total of 70 sons. All of Gideon's wives were Israelites. However, Abimelech's mother was a foreigner who lived in Shechem. Therefore, Gideon's son, Abimelech, was born as a person who was half Israel and half Shechem. When his father Gideon died, Abimelech devised a plot to become a king.
Now that my father has died, my brothers will rule over Israel. If so, I won't have much power since I'm just their half-brother. When father was alive, he loved me the most and even named me Abimelech. I'm sure my brothers hate me. If so, I'll have to take matters into my own hands before they attack me. Ha 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 ha.
Abimelech tried to push aside his brothers to become king. He went to his mother's hometown of Shechem and met with his mother's relatives.
My beloved relatives, how have you been?
Aren't you Abimelech? The noble son of our household? How have you been? We heard that your father passed away. You must be very sad. How is your mother?
Yes, uncle. Mother has lost a lot of strength after father passed away. Since mother is not an Israelite, the people over there act coldly towards her.
Yes, I understand. Why have you come to Shechem?
As you all know, I'm half Israelite. My father had 70 sons from his Israelite wives. Now that father has passed, one of his sons will rule over us. Will my father's Israelite son treat our people of Shechem well?
When Gideon was alive, he loved your mother, so he was gracious to the Shechem people. But Gideon's Israelite sons will not have good feelings towards us.
If my relatives and the brothers here at Shechem could help me become king, then we don't have to worry about the Israelites and we could rule over them.
Oh, that's a good idea. It'll be good to live without having to worry about the Israelites. How can we help you?
First, please have the Shechem people find favor in me. If you can get some men to join me, I'll take care of the rest.
Abimelech's relatives living in Shechem thought his idea was great, so they began to persuade the Shechem people to make Abimelech king.
Everyone, quiet down and listen to me. Until now, Gideon of Israel has shown his love to us and took our daughter of Shechem as his wife. However, now that Gideon has died, his sons will rule over Shechem. Wouldn't it be difficult to serve 70 of his sons?
70? How can we serve so many kings? We have to pay a lot of taxes.
This is why I told you to gather here. Fortunately, Baal has sent us a valuable person. He is Abimelech, who is the son of my sister, a daughter of Shechem, whom Gideon took as his wife. Since Abimelech is our flesh and blood, he will not treat us poorly, but treat us well. Therefore, let's gather our strength and help Abimelech push aside Gideon's other sons and become king.
Yes, that's good! That's good!
To make Abimelech king, the Shechem people took out 70 shekels of silver from Baal's temple and gave it to Abimelech. With the silver from Baal's temple, Abimelech bought strong men who were bad people.
I will give you enough money, so join me in doing something great.
We'll do anything as long as you give us money. We'll do whatever you ask.
Abimelech took his strong, violent men to Ophrah, where his father's sons were. Abimelech is heading towards Ophrah with a wicked heart. what will happen in Ophrah now. I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Would you like to listen to Daily Devotional again? If you go to our homepage, you can find Daily Devotional Summary and listen again by playing the file. Please visit www.heartandsoul.org. That is www.heartandsoul.org and click Listen at the top of the page. Then scroll down to Daily Devotional Guide. If you have any questions, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you!
Following is the program Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
John's a Christian, right? He should know better than to get angry and yell at the other guys.
No Christian is perfect, and remembering that helps us to be patient with others. I'm so glad you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Let's get started. It's frustrating when you thought one of your friends was growing as a Christian when they suddenly fell right back into an old bad habit. Maybe they got angry, talked behind your back, or even lied right to your face. It'd be easy to get mad at them for not following what the Bible says, but remember, there are plenty of times when you failed to live up to God's standards, too. Instead, show your friend grace and love, just as you'd like to be shown. And remember what Jesus says in John 13:34, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Let's listen to our story today. It's entitled Sour Notes. Maria set up her music stand, then took out her violin. She began to play, but as she drew her bow across the strings, many notes were shaky and unsure. "I'm out of here," exclaimed her brother Carlos, headed for the door. "Those high, squeaky notes hurt my ears." "Carlos is right. They sound awful," wailed Maria. "My teacher calls those sour notes. This piece is too hard." "Try it again," said Mom, coming into the room. "Keep practicing." With a sigh, Maria did so. Though she still couldn't play the song perfectly by the end of her 30-minute practice session, it had definitely improved. "Did everyone have a good day?" asked Dad at dinner that evening. "What did you all do?" "I practiced the new piece my violin teacher assigned," said Maria. "It still needs a lot of work, but it's coming along." "I played ball with some friends at the park," Carlos said. "John got mad and went home. He doesn't do that as much as he used to, but he sure blew it today." "That's too bad," said Mom. "But I'm glad he's been doing better." Maria frowned. "But he's a Christian, isn't he? He should know better than to get mad like that." "Well, let's pray for him and be thankful he's making progress," Dad said. "It's easier to be patient with others when we remember we all do sinful things sometimes and need God's help and forgiveness." "Right," said Mom. "Think about your violin practice, Maria. Remember all the sour notes we heard at first? We can have sour notes in our lives, too, habits and attitudes that are out of tune with who we are as God's children. But when we confess our wrongs to Jesus, he forgives us and helps us play a new song." Dad nodded. "When we put our trust in Jesus, he changes us and gives us the Holy Spirit, who works in us so others can hear the beautiful song of God's love and salvation in our lives. It takes time, but God has promised to continue working until the day Jesus returns and gets rid of sin forever. You didn't give up on your music, and God doesn't give up on us." "Okay," said Maria. "I'll keep practicing, and I'm sure John will too." So how about you? Have there been some sour notes in your life lately? Don't forget that God is still working on you. He's patiently teaching you to turn away from sin and show his love to others. And he won't ever give up on you. When you sin, ask Jesus to forgive you and then trust him to help you share his sweet song of salvation with those around you. Our key verse is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
"God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns."
And our key thought, God won't give up on you. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
The video said Jesus will make sure you're healthy all the time, but my neighbor needs a cane. She loves Jesus, though.
When you follow Jesus, he does promise to be with you always, but that doesn't mean you won't have trouble. Hi, and welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Have you ever wondered why God allows bad things to happen to Christians? I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, everything should be perfect in life, right? Well, Jesus actually said that we would have problems, especially because we're his followers. If people didn't like him, they wouldn't like us either. But the good news is that Jesus promised to be with us always and to help us. In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Our story today is called No More Troubles. The man in the video waved his arms as he spoke. "Do you have health problems or money problems? Do you want to get rid of your troubles? Just have faith in Jesus," he shouted. "He'll take all your troubles away." When the video ended, Emery went next door to take out her neighbor's trash. Mrs. Koning used a cane and couldn't wheel the garbage can to the curb herself. When she arrived, Emery found Mrs. Koning struggling to put a large bag in the bin. "Here, let me get it," Emery said, opening the lid and dropping the bag inside. "Thank you, dear," said Mrs. Koning. "I thought I could do it myself, but I forgot how much this cane gets in the way." Emery glanced at her neighbor's cane. "Mrs. Koning, you trust in Jesus, don't you?" Mrs. Koning smiled. "I certainly do, Emery." "Well, I just saw this video online where a preacher said all your troubles will be gone if you have faith in Jesus. So why do you still need a cane?" "God is powerful enough to heal me," Mrs. Koning replied. "But Jesus never promised all my troubles would go away if I followed him." "But that preacher said you would be well," Emery insisted, "and rich too, if you have faith." "He may say that, but the Bible doesn't," said Mrs. Koning. Emery frowned. "It doesn't?" Mrs. Koning shook her head. "The Bible doesn't promise good physical health and lots of money to those who trust in Jesus. Some Christians may have one or both of those things, but others don't. What it does promise is life with Jesus." She smiled at Emery. "Being a Christian doesn't mean you'll have smooth sailing through life. In fact, Jesus tells us we'll experience troubles in this world like he did, but he promises he'll help us through them and he'll never leave us. Because he suffered and died on a cross to save us, we'll never be separated from him. That's the hope he offers, not money or physical health, but eternal life with him, and his promise to one day get rid of sin, sickness, and death for good." "Oh," said Emery, "somebody should tell that preacher." Mrs. Koning chuckled. "I think you're right." "So what about you? Have you heard that God wants Christians to have lots of money and be in perfect physical health? Some Christians may have those things, but others don't. Either way, health and wealth in this life are not what Jesus promises to those who trust in him. What he promises is that he'll always be with us and take care of our needs. He promises to give us strength when we face troubles in this world. He promises us eternal life with him, so trust him to keep his promises. Our key verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9.
"My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness."
And our key thought today, have faith in Jesus' promises. Find the fun at keysforkids.net and click shop. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
"I'm scared of my surgery tomorrow. They're gonna mess around with my heart."
God created your whole body, including your heart. You can trust him to help the doctors do what's best. Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Last year, I had to have my wisdom teeth removed, and boy, was I scared. Have you ever been afraid to go to the doctor? It's normal to be a little worried to visit a doctor or go to a hospital, but remember, if you're a believer in Jesus, he will help you to be brave. If you're ever afraid, then I think you should memorize this Bible verse. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Our story today is called The Jesus Chair. Aunt Bonnie touched Will's shoulder. "Is something the matter, Will?" "Not really," Will answered. He stared at his video game, avoiding his aunt's eyes. Aunt Bonnie sat down and took the game out of Will's hands. Are you worried about your surgery tomorrow? It's okay to be afraid, but you should give that fear to God and let Him take care of it. How do I give my fear to God? Will asked. Aunt Bonnie pointed to a small wooden chair next to her china cabinet. I call that my Jesus chair. It helps me remember that because I trust in Jesus, He is always with me. Whenever I feel afraid, I imagine Jesus sitting in this chair talking to me, just like a best friend. Will watched as his aunt reached over to the empty chair. What are you doing? He asked. I'm handing my fear to Jesus, Aunt Bonnie said. He takes all my problems and carries them for me so that I don't have to worry about them. Tears started to run down Will's cheeks. But they're going to cut open my chest and mess around with my heart. God created everything, including your heart. He knows all about fixing it. Aunt Bonnie put her arm around Will. The Bible tells us that God is with us wherever we go, and He'll be in that operating room. Will wiped his tears with the back of his hand. Too bad I won't be able to see Him. But you can imagine Him standing next to your bed, just like I imagine Jesus sitting in my living room. Aunt Bonnie knelt next to the couch and patted the floor. Kneel with me, Will. Let's pray. Will knelt beside his aunt and bowed his head. Lord, please let Will feel your comfort and peace, Aunt Bonnie prayed. Guide the surgeon's hands tomorrow, and please heal Will's heart. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Will got up from the floor. Jesus really is in your living room, Aunt Bonnie. I felt Him next to me, almost like a hug. Aunt Bonnie smiled. And He'll be at your side tomorrow, too. Even if you can't see Him or feel Him, He will be there with you. So what about you? Are you facing a scary, difficult situation in life? Whether it's a heart surgery, a new school, a difficult class, or a piano recital, Jesus will be with you the whole time. He's a friend you can talk to anytime, so give your worries to Him and trust Him with the outcome. Even though you can't see Him and even though you don't feel Him, He is there by your side. Our key verse is Joshua 1:9.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And our key thought, Jesus is always with you. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
My sister couldn't go on the mission trip, so now she feels really bad. How can I help cheer her up?
Show her how much she means to you and how much you love her, maybe with a surprise party. My name is Zach, and you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. If you love somebody, do you just ignore them and never spend time with them? Of course not. You want to show them how much you love them. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about some more ways to put love into action. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Our story today is called Surprise Party. What's wrong with Addison? Asked Noah as his older sister left the room. Is she sad about something? This is the day her college friends leave on their mission trip, said Mom. Why didn't she go? Noah asked. She loves helping people. Because she was offered a summer job and she felt like she should take it and work as much as she could to help with school expenses, since Dad was laid off for several months this year, Mom explained. Then let's do something special for her so she won't feel so bad, suggested Noah. I know, let's have a party for her, a surprise family party. A party letting her know she's special to us? Asked Mom. All right, I'll fix her favorite dinner and you can decorate the dining room. What about a present? Asked Noah. Mom thought for a moment. Why don't we give her coupons? We'll call them love coupons. I'll make one with a promise to make her bed and fix her breakfast every day this week so she can sleep later. You could wash the dishes when it's her turn. Noah's eyes widened. Let's not get carried away, he said. Mom laughed and gave Noah a quick hug. This is a great idea, Noah. God says we should show love to one another because he loved us first, and you're doing that today. She went to the kitchen. We'd better get busy. We have a lot to do. When Addison came home from work that afternoon, she stood in the doorway and stared. The table was set with the best dishes and balloons hung from the light fixture. Surprise! Exclaimed Noah. Is it somebody's birthday? Asked Addison. I know it's not mine. Nope, but you're special, Noah told her, so we're having a party for you. After enjoying her favorite meal, Addison took the coupons her family had placed beside her plate. I love and appreciate all of you, she said after reading them. She glanced at the dirty dishes and then tousled Noah's hair. I especially appreciate you tonight, little brother, she said, holding up a coupon Noah had given her. It's my night to wash dishes. So what about you? Is there someone you know who needs some encouragement? God showed his great love for us by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins, and he wants us to show others love through our actions too. What can you do to make someone feel loved and appreciated? Do more of your share of chores at home? Maybe help a friend with schoolwork or mow a neighbor's lawn? Whatever it is, you'll be showing them the love of Jesus. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18.
Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions.
And our key thought for the day, let your actions show love. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
My mom and dad got divorced, and then my dad got married again. I don't know if he even loves me anymore.
Your father does love you, and your heavenly father does too. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids. As always, I'm glad that you're listening. My name is Zach. It's a sad reality, but sometimes the grown-ups in our lives can let us down and disappoint us. When that happens, remember that no one is perfect, and God can help you learn to forgive. Also, remember that God will never let you down, no matter what happens. One of my favorite Bible verses is found in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 39. It says, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's listen to our story now. It's entitled, A Deeper Love. Tears ran down Deidre's cheeks as her father drove off. Today was the worst day of her life. Earlier that morning, her parents had sat on opposite ends of the couch and calmly spoke the words that tore her world apart. We both love you, Deidre. We just can't live together anymore. You'll spend weekends with Dad and weekdays with me, said Mom. Dad nodded. We'll go see different things in the city every weekend. We'll have fun, you'll see. After watching her dad drive away, Deidre went to her room and collapsed on her bed. She could no longer cry. She felt empty. As the days went by, Deidre's life fell into a new pattern. After school on weekdays, she and her mom spent the evenings together. On Fridays, her dad picked her up from school and took her to his apartment for the weekend. They did fun things in the city, but it just wasn't the same as having him home. One Friday, Dad called to say he couldn't come. After that, Deidre only saw her dad one or two weekends a month. A few months later, when Deidre found out she was going to have a new family, her dad was getting married and she would have two stepbrothers, she wasn't quite sure where she would fit in. One day, Deidre accepted a neighbor's invitation to go with her to church. Deidre listened as the teacher in her class talked about the love of God. Love comes and goes, thought Deidre. One day you're a family, and the next day you could be lost somewhere in the middle. Tears began to well up, and she stayed in her seat after the other kids left. Can I help? Asked Mrs. Mason as she knelt beside Deidre. Love's not like you said, murmured Deidre. My dad doesn't love me like that. Our Heavenly Father's love is not like human love, said Mrs. Mason gently. People often fail to love each other well. But God's love is perfect. He loves us so much he sent his son Jesus to die for us so we could be his children, and he promises to always be with us. It would be great to have someone love me like that, Deidre thought, and she listened as Mrs. Mason told her more about Jesus. So what about you? Have you ever been let down by the people that you love? Have family members or friends left you feeling hurt and alone? Your Heavenly Father will never fail you. He loves you more deeply than anyone else does, even your parents. He loves you so much he sent his son Jesus to die for you so you could be a part of his family. Nothing can ever get in the way of his perfect love for you. So trust in Jesus today. To learn more about what it means to trust in Jesus, just get your parents' permission and then go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse today is Romans 8:39.
Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And our key thought, God's love is perfect. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death could not keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Wasn't that a blast doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this was a time for you to become a lot closer to Jesus. Don't forget to talk to your parents about the story you heard today on Daily Devotional. I'm sure your family will have a great time talking about it together. I hope that you can read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. God bless you. Goodbye.